at his notes, and after the reading of the Passion, went and sat down and didn't say anything. And the article was about, what does that mean? You know, was he not feeling well? And all of this speculation and about Palm Sunday. And he didn't say anything, but he got a lot of press for not saying anything. Don't worry, I'm going to say something tonight, okay? But I think that if we read, I think that his point was just listen to the gospel. I think that was his point. And the readings that we had tonight, you know, it was our infirmities that he bore. I want you to imagine seeing the crucifix that you're going to see in just a minute. You know, tonight, those of you that may be new to this, you're going to have the opportunity to come up and venerate the crucifix. You know, kiss the feet of the crucifix or bow or just kind of acknowledge our Lord's suffering and death in the symbol of the crucifix. So you imagine in your mind, you know what a crucifix looks like. It was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. While we thought of him as stricken, as smitten by God, he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each one following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. The suffering servant prophesied in Isaiah, the act of atonement. An act of love by God for us. An act of brutality by man. Let us be sure this is not an act of brutality by God. This is an act of brutality by man. On the God who has come to pour out his life and his love for us. Why this brutality? Sin has consequences, as I like to say. It's just that simple. We cannot imagine a universe in which sin doesn't have consequences. Any more than you can imagine a universe where 2 + 2 does not equal 4. Anywhere you can imagine, any more than you can imagine a universe in which soldiers are given medals of valor for running away in danger. No, those things don't exist. They cannot exist. Just like sin that doesn't have consequences cannot exist. And so the cross, the cross unlocks the code. At the first moment of creation, God already saw the cross. Only in the cross do we make sense of suffering. It is a regular part of my pastoral guidance to people to meditate on the cross. There is wisdom and power. There's even a kind of beauty in the cross. Go to the cross. My first funeral I ever did. First funeral, I was a deacon. First one ever, a 19-year-old. Tragic, tragic death. I called a priest friend of mine to ask him, "What do I say?" I expected him to have some wisdom. "What do you say?" He said, "Mike, there's nothing to say." What do you say? The cross. The cross. Go to the cross. invite people who are suffering to the foot of the cross. Of course, we work to make roads safer, prevent divorce, prevent disease, evacuate before storms, but still there's the cross. Tonight we come to the cross. Tonight we recognize Jesus. Though he was harshly treated, like a lamb led to a slaughter, he was silent and opened not his mouth. He gives his life as an offering for sin on the cross. I know a man who many would think has an enviable life. He retired early, has plenty of money, can buy anything he wants. He even has servants. He gets up when he wants. He eats whatever he likes. He spends his day doing what he wants. The computer, the television, books. He seems to have it all. But he says when he gets up, he feels the oppression of boredom and a fear of losing what he has. He medicates himself with alcohol and drugs, and the latest drug, the internet. There are many like him, thousands, millions, billions. I don't judge him. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains just that. On the other hand, if it dies to itself, it produces great fruit. As a priest, I have the privilege to hear confessions. And in confessions, I hear failures and temptations and hurts. I don't know that I have any wisdom to impart except the cross. The cross. I can encourage them to make a firm resolution to embrace the cross. The cross has forgiveness, it has healing, it has strength, it has humility, it has patience, it has it all. The cross. Young people are often idealistic. They know, and I speak to the young people, you know you are called to heroic sacrifice, to die to yourself, to have a greater cause. But they can die to that calling in this sick world and run from or mock the cross. Pope Benedict XVI said to young people and old people and people in between, the world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. And there is the cross. It unlocks the code. It tells us about sin. It tells us about redemption. It tells us about suffering. It calls us out of our selfishness. The cross might seem wasteful. Remember last Sunday? Like the alabaster jar filled with a year's wages poured out on Jesus. There's no waste when we give it to our Lord. In the cross, quoting Richard Neuhaus, a Lutheran convert to Catholicism, he says, in the cross, we see the rendering of the verdict on our gravity of our sins. We have to come to our senses. None of our sins are small or of little account. To belittle our sins is to belittle ourselves. To belittle their forgiveness, to belittle the love of the Father who welcomes us home. We now turn to God in prayer, and we will adore the Holy Cross. The deacon will chant these words, "Behold the wood of the cross on which hung the salvation of the world," and you will respond, "Come, let us adore."